Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
I just got lightheaded. Can we like open up the door
yeah,
again?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Pause.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our humongous Polaroid camera. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is Time Pop. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It's time. We are time popping. We got two dogs in the studio now. Second episode of the day. Double down on the dogs. What could go wrong? Nothing.
Right.
How have you been in the last 5 minutes, Ari?
In the last 5 minutes, I've been great.
Very good. What did we watch today?
We watched a very interesting and different kind of time travel movie called Time Lapse.
We did. When did you watch this one?
I watched this one a while ago.
You did? Okay.
And I didn't like it.
Okay.
And then I watched it again yesterday, and I did like it a little bit more.
Huh. That's interesting. I certainly still like it, but having watched it twice in succession, it wasn't as interesting. I guess it was just, I watching these movies, I always think, well, if I watch it again, it'll be kind of fun to look for the little things and the little nuances. And it actually took me out of it and made me enjoy it a little bit less.
You watched it back to back?
No, I watched it a month ago, and then I watched it this morning. And I'd done some more research on it, too, so I was really in tune to all the things that were going on. This movie was very hotly debated. Well, not debated. That's not the word I'm looking for. I've never read so many reviews where the reviewer loved and hated it so much. Like, I read multiple reviews that were just like, this is the smartest and dumbest time travel movie I've ever seen.
Interesting.
Which was very, it really put me on high alert for some stuff. And so that's my fault. You know, you pick anything apart too much, you're gonna see nothing but warts. But we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Time Lapse, April 18th, 2014, 104 minutes, unrated.
Huh?
Yeah. So I guess that means it just never had a theatrical release, and so there was no reason to run it through the rating system.
I mean, it's only on Netflix? No, I saw it on Amazon. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, it wasn't released out in theaters.
Because it was definitely out there. This thing won 22 International Film and Horror Festival awards. So it was shopped around, and maybe, it's weird for it to win that many awards and someone not want to get it in theaters.
Well, it's clearly rated R.
Yeah, but it's certainly not X rated. Like, there's no reason, it's not like it's not rated because it's off the charts. It's just not rated because it didn't get run through the system.
Interesting.
And get a rating, so that was interesting. The critics versus audience on Rotten Tomatoes is a 76-63. I wrote that down without actually thinking about it much. So yeah, the critics obviously thought it was well made, and the audience didn't get on board as much. No one really hated it, but written and directed by Bradley King, who's done nothing but a bunch of shorts, and he's working on something now called Occam's Razor, which looks to be kind of a big movie. So I think someone liked what he did and gave him some money, and we'll see what he does next. Matt O'Leary, who plays Finn, was in Brick, which we talked about on our Looper episode, because that was written and directed by Rian Johnson and starred JGL. He was also in some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Jasper, I'll get to him in a second. Danielle Panabaker, or Callie, she's been in Bones, Mad Men, Justified. In DC, she is Caitlin Snow / Killer Frost. I think we talked about how little we know about DC Comics on our Marvel episode. Oh, she plays that character in Flash and Supergirl and Arrow. So she's getting all over the DC Comics with that character, which is kind of interesting. Mr. Bezzarides, who you don't really see except for his burnt corpse on the ground, that is John Rhys-Davies, or better known as Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Yeah. And he also appeared in Raiders of the Lost Ark and one of the other Indiana Jones movies. I don't remember which one. But the best connection for this movie, George Finn, of course his last name is Finn because there's also a Finn character in the movie. George Finn, who plays Jasper, he auditioned for the movie Home Alone 3 as the star. He was wanted to take the place of, I can't think of that actor's name right now.
Macaulay Culkin?
Thank you. He was going to take Macaulay Culkin's place in Home Alone 3. Interesting postscript to that story. I know who took that role in Home Alone 3 from George Finn.
You know him personally?
I know him personally.
Okay. Yeah, now he's offended, whoever he is.
Oh my gosh. Alex Linz. I didn't even have to look that up, people. I grabbed my phone and it went right into me. Alex Linz played the Macaulay Culkin role, or I can't think of what his, or I don't think it's the same character. Anyways, yeah, I worked with him as a camp counselor for Galileo for a summer. We actually did a bunch of commuting together and it was so funny because he was super cool. It's not like he flaunted around like, guess who I am. He was in a couple other movies and just kind of one of those cats that he made a few bucks as a child actor and just wanted to go to college and be a dude. I grew up with Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2, but all of the kids who grew up with Home Alone 3, they were quite a bit younger. So there was a couple of CITs who were like, do you know who that is? Oh my gosh, do you know who that is? Oh my God, that's a kid from Home Alone 3. That's good. And so word got around fast because of these CITs that he was the Home Alone 3 kid, and it became kind of a big deal. So that was interesting. But real, real cool cat. And I thought that was a great connection.
And that's not the guy in this movie.
That is not the guy in this movie.
Okay.
No. He wanted that. He wished he could have been in Home Alone 3. But Alex got that part. Some other movies that were mentioned that there's a lot more films that kind of use this 24-hour in the future thing that I knew. There's some TV shows. Who is Running? Early Edition. The Queer Story of Brownlow's Newspaper. That's an H.G. Wells story. That's interesting. And there's a Twilight Zone episode called A Most Unusual Camera, which could be an interesting thing to look into. So that's all the facts I got. Now it's time for Ari's overview of time-lapse.
Cool. Okay. So this movie is about three housemates. One girl named Callie, who is a writer. One guy named Finn, who is an artist, a painter, and he is also the building manager. And he and Callie are in a relationship together. And one guy named Jasper, who all we really know about him is he likes to gamble on dog races. He's kind of an asshole. Anyway. So these three people live together, and one day they realize that the neighbor across from their apartment, it's like a ground floor apartment, has not been seen from or heard from in a while. He's late on his rent. His car has tickets on it. He's not collecting his mail. So Callie goes over to see if he is okay, and she finds a wall full of Polaroid pictures of their living room and a giant camera set up facing their living room. So it's in his living room, the old man, facing their living room, and the pictures are of them living in their house. And so all three kind of go over there and they're like, you know, what is going on? And they soon discover that, like pretty soon into the movie, that this device, this giant camera, takes a picture of 24 hours into the future. So what do they do? So Jasper automatically decides, okay, we're going to use this to our advantage. We are going to post a picture of the races, the winnings to the dog races, so we can win money. And they do, and it works, and they start winning. And, you know, at first, I can't remember when they find his body, but eventually they find the old man's body in his storage unit in the basement.
I think they find him right away.
Right away, okay.
Yeah, I think before they even realize exactly how the camera functions.
Yeah, so at first, you know, Finn, the artist, is like, hey, we need to report we got a dead guy here. And Jasper is the one who's like, no, he's been dead for a week and nobody knows. He's down there in the cellar with the door closed. Nobody can smell it. We'll report it later. Let's just ride this out.
We're in the picture tomorrow, so what could go wrong?
Exactly. So they say, we are in the picture with the winning dogs, so we have to do this. We have to do this. And at some point, they also find the old man's journal. And in the journal, it says something about time and causality. And in the journal, it talks about the old man saw his death. correction?
Just no clarification. Not really a clarification, but I happen to write that down.
Yeah.
The cardinal rule of time and causality is that one should not attempt to change the future, but under these circumstances, it seems to be a risk worth taking.
Right. So the three of them take that as he took that risk, and then they found him dead in his storage unit. So they decide, you know, we're in this picture for tomorrow, so we have to do this or else we might die. So these three think that if they don't do what is in the picture, they might die, which is pretty good motivation.
Or just cease to exist.
Yeah.
Even a fate worse than death, never right. being.
They translate it as don't fuck with time.
That is the quote of this film.
Yes. So they continue their lives. There's a picture of them having a party. And so they have the party. They go through the motions of everything. They do the results of the dog races and they're winning all this money. They keep having the choice to do something different, but they keep not doing something different because they're afraid that they might die.
And things are just going well.
Things are going well.
They're winning money.
Yeah.
They're painting pictures.
Yeah, that's right. Finn is an artist who, before they found the very first picture, was having a mental block on what to paint. But the first picture that they find, they see his painting. It's, of course, perfectly angled towards the outside of the window so the camera can capture exactly what his painting is going to be. So Finn is on board because each night, each 24 hours, he gets to see what he paints. And he's painting a new picture a day. Jasper is winning at the races. So they're like, let's keep going with this. We'll keep the man alive, quote unquote. So they're taking in his mail, they're moving his car, they're making it seem like he's still alive. Then all of a sudden, we find a picture of Callie and Jasper kissing. And Finn is actually in the picture. He is like back to them at his canvas while the two of them are kissing. And they decide, well, we have to do what's in the photo because that's what we've been doing. And, you know, we want things to continue. So we got to do what's in the photo. So they do. And things start to go south from there. Jasper has a bookie for all of his dog races. And he is winning a lot. And I think his bookie becomes suspicious.
I think his bookie's already a little bit suspicious, but then he gets really suspicious when Jasper calls him out of nowhere and just says, because they see.
So Jasper's doing some sort of weird drug. It looks like some sort of upper.
He's doing everything. He's yeah. got an Oops All Crunch Berries tin full of pills.
Yeah.
That he's partying with.
So for some reason, Jasper calls the bookie not to place a bet, but just to say hi.
Something's in the picture that makes him think something.
Right.
Because, yeah, they don't. I don't think there's no.
Okay, so then one night they get a picture and it's Jasper talking to his bookie. And they're like, why is your bookie here? Is that usual? And Jasper's like, no, that's very unusual. I'm not sure. That's not good. This guy is not a good guy. So Jasper, like an idiot who's like hopped up on speed or something, calls just to be like, hey, how's it going? And the bookie's like, what are you, you know, are you placing a bet? He's like, no, I'm going to cool it tonight. I'm not going to place a bet. Okay, bye. Like an idiot. So then the bookie, of course, becomes suspicious and pays Jasper a visit. And just like the picture, shows up and starts talking to him and saying things like, you know, what's worse than somebody who doesn't pay up is somebody who doesn't ever lose. So the bookie is suspicious. And then in the middle of the conversation, Callie walks in with a picture of her posing nude, essentially, for her boyfriend Finn to paint. And then there's a silhouette of somebody watching. So she gets, like, assuming that it's Jasper, like, spying. She throws down the picture in front of the bookie and is like, how dare you? You're an asshole. You spied while I was posing nude for my boyfriend. But it turns out that it wasn't Jasper spying. It was the bookie standing in between the two apartments looking in. And the bookie says, you know, it's amazing what you can recognize. Even though it's blurry and from far away, you can always recognize your own silhouette. So the bookie comes back at the moment when this picture is taken, which is 8 p.m. It always takes a picture at 8 p.m. and realizes that there's something going on. He comes back with his muscle, big muscle.
Yeah.
Guy. And basically, they have to tell the bookie what's going on. And they do. And the bookie says, great, now you're going to give me all the winning dogs and you're going to get 5%.
we're going to come every day. We're going to get the picture, and you're going to just, you're going to make sure you're in every photo so I know you're behaving.
Yeah, and you're going to give me the actual picture.
And they have everything. This is the first time I've noticed that, you know, instead of the two pieces of paper with some racing finishes on it, there's like five or six pieces, and there's some sports games in there too. So they're like giving him everything.
Yeah. So they do that. So they get the picture. Jasper writes down what the winnings are in the picture, gives the picture to the bookie, and then that night at 8 p.m., he writes it on the piece of paper, puts it up in the window for the picture to be taken. So they don't like the situation, and they end up killing the bookie and the muscle guy. So
basically, they think their lives are in danger, I think. No, they just murder.
Yeah, I think Jasper, like, hides weapons all around the apartment. Yeah. And he just wants to be done with this, so he...
And that's a good construct of this movie, is to put Jasper on drugs. So he's a little erratic, a little anxious.
He's making bad decisions.
Yeah.
So they kill the bookie and the muscle guy, and they put the bodies in the storage unit that they found the old man in. And then, all of a sudden, the colleague of the old man who lives across the way, who the camera belongs to, shows up and is this woman, and she says, "Hi, I'm Mr. Old Man's colleague. Have you seen from him, heard of him?" And they say no, and then Jasper says, "Didn't you just say that he moved away?" Anyway, she all of a sudden turns a gun on them. Like, she understands something's going on. She turns a gun on them, and they take her to his body. So what the lady said was that the old man sent her a letter a week ago.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. The old man sent a letter to her 2 weeks ago and included a picture saying that he thinks that this is going to be his death. So the colleague then tells, so they're all in on it. The colleague then tells them that the camera can take a picture further than 24 hours because this picture was taken 2 weeks ago. This picture was taken or will have been taken tomorrow night.
Well, the picture was taken 2 weeks ago of tomorrow night.
Of tomorrow night. Thank you. Yes. So this picture that she has in her purse is a picture of blood on the window. There's nobody in the room. Blood on the window. And the painting that Finn did was like this canister with a green coil in it. So Jasper says, "Great. Do you know how to work the camera? Do you know how to get it to take a picture of whenever?" And she says, "No." And he says, "Oh, okay." And he shoots her. So then we see a picture of Callie and Jasper having sex. And Finn is like asleep on the couch in the background. And so then Jasper starts to lose it and knocks out Finn and locks him in the storage unit. And basically says, "This all has to keep happening.
You're in the picture tomorrow night."
Yeah.
"So
I'm going to drag you there. This all has to keep happening." I think at this point, Finn wanted to like destroy the camera, and he was like, "Nope, this all needs to keep happening. We need to.
At least, I think at that point, he's just trying to leave. I think he's just got a bag, and he's just like, "I'm out."
Yeah.
But yeah, Jasper's already seen tomorrow's photo, and so he's just, or tonight's photo.
So while Finn is locked up in the storage unit, he finds a lighter, gets free from the ropes, and he thinks, "Okay, I painted this painting today to be taken a picture of at 8 p.m. tonight, and it sent the old man, 2 weeks ago, it sent him down here into the storage unit to find this cylinder. It's a real thing. The cylinder with the green coil in it is a real thing." And they mentioned it. The colleague lady mentioned it, like, because the body of the old man that they found looked like it was burnt, but his clothes weren't burnt.
Yeah.
And then she explained, "Oh, it's this, that, and the other."
Like, thidium gas.
Yeah, like a chemical
like
or a gas that like burnt your skin. So there was a cylinder of that gas in this storage unit. And so I guess when the old man saw this picture, he had this picture, he sent it to the colleague, and then he went down into his storage unit to find the cylinder. The cylinder broke, and then it killed him. So Finn is there with the body of this old man, and he's like, "I painted this picture today to be taken a photo of. Did I send you down here?" And he rummages through the old man's coat and finds the keys to get out. So that was significant. I think they thought they were very clever with that. So he gets out, he gets a bucket of water, and he essentially calls Jasper from across the way saying, "I'm going to dump a big bucket of water onto this camera. If you don't go get Callie, put her on the phone. We're going to leave. We're just going to walk away and leave." And then in my notes I wrote, So Jasper, oh yeah, Jasper has a gun also at this point.
Yes.
So
he has her gun. He has Joyce's gun.
Yeah, the colleague.
Yes.
So Jasper's like, fine. He's basically going to say, I'll let you go. Picture change. Oh yeah. So Callie, Jasper, and Finn end up having a struggle.
Yeah.
And
so he goes back across the way.
Yeah.
Jasper had taken a ring from Finn that Finn was going to use to propose to Callie. And so during their conversation on the phone, he tells Callie to get the ring back from Jasper. And right. Then
she's, and he says, I was meaning to propose to you.
And through this whole movie, she's obviously frustrated with him being more into his art than her, or just distracted. She loves him. He's aloof. And so now with this ring,
Callie sees the ring and she's very happy.
Yeah.
And so they decide they're going to run. They're just going to leave. They're going to run away. And as she's packing a bag, Jasper and Finn start to struggle and have a bit of a fight. Callie comes out of nowhere and cracks him on the head with his crystal ball from earlier and kills him. So Callie kills Jasper. And then all of a sudden, the photo that the old man had changed. It changed from just the picture of the green coil and the blood to that, but with police tape, yellow police tape over it. So the picture changed. So they're like, okay, great. We did something right. We changed it. Let's just get out of here. But Callie starts acting weird. She's like, let me get you some ice. And all of a sudden, we see Finn walk back into the living room and Callie is in the window and a picture is taken and it is 8 a.m.
Dun, dun, dun.
Everything changes and he's like, what is going on? And we find out that the pictures, that very first day when Callie went over there to check on the old man, the camera takes a picture at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. And
every
every day. And she has been hiding the 8 a.m. pictures for herself and not telling the guys because she's been sending herself messages on how to get her boyfriend to notice her more.
Beautiful woman.
Yeah. So the motivation behind her continuing to do all this and not tell them is because, you know, at one point when they have to kiss because of the photo, Finn gets jealous and she's like, yay, he's jealous finally. I've been wanting him to notice me and get jealous. And so she keeps doing all these things all to get her boyfriend to notice her and to rekindle the relationship and get back to what they used to have because the spark has been lost.
Make him realize what's right there in front of him. Because the whole time he's basically in love with his art.
And not her.
Yes.
So then it is also revealed that she's been hiding all these other pictures, and it's revealed that Jasper and Callie have been sleeping together for a while now, before they even discovered the camera. And that first day when Callie went over there, she took off all those pictures from the wall that showed that.
Again, something that stood out way more for this watch than any other watches because I've seen it back to back. Everybody said, where are the missing photos?
Yeah.
Everybody who walks in that room says, what's the deal with the missing photos?
Yeah.
And the whole time you're like, I mean, there's hundreds of photos on the wall.
Yeah.
So if a couple of them fell off or got lost, it wouldn't be a big deal. So in your first watch, you're just like, meh, no big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, this time everyone's like, where are they? They're in Callie's
hidden drawer.
Hidden drawer. Yeah.
So at this point,
and their whole life takes place at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
All the time. These people are living life to the fullest every night at 8 p.m.
So at this point, Finn is like, I'm done. And he wants to just leave. He takes the ring off of her finger and he's like, I'm done. Now, this is where she starts to get a little cuckoo. She wants to fix it. She says, I can fix this. What I can do is I'll post a picture for tonight and change it to prevent you from catching me at the window. And then we will have never had this conversation. And I wrote a big fat question mark right here. So in her mind, she thinks that, so it's 8 a.m. right now. She thinks that she is going to do a different note. They already have the picture of what's supposed to happen at 8 p.m., right? That's the one of the coil.
Yes.
Without any police tape on it. She thinks she's going to do something completely different than that. She thinks she's going to write a note up there that says, don't get caught at the window, which means we'll erase all of this. We'll have wiped his mind. Anyway, we'll get back to the coils. Let's finish the overview. So the overview then. So she thinks she's going to put a new note, and I wrote down what she said. She's just going to put a new note in tonight's picture, and when I get the note last night, I'll know to prevent you from catching me at the window just now. We will have never had this conversation. So then he's like, no, we need to destroy the machine. This is insane. And she says, if you destroy the machine, I can't fix this. So So she's starting to go cuckoo. So much so that when he turns to leave to destroy the machine, she shoots him in the back. And she says, it will be okay tomorrow. So apparently, she's going to unkill somebody.
She is, yeah, she is all in on the single timeline.
So she's just about to put up the note that says, so dead Finn is on the ground, dead Jasper is on the ground. She's about to put up a note that says, don't get caught in the window. And the security guard walks by and notices her. And she's like, well, it doesn't matter. You can come in anyway. This is all going to be fixed. And he's like walking her away, essentially in handcuffs. And you see from the point of view of the camera, you see the note that says, don't get caught in the window. And the piece of paper falls. And then you see her running back, trying to put up that note, because she thinks that if that note is there, it's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get there. She gets dragged away. And then the picture that is taken is of an empty room with the blood splatter on the window and the painting of the cylinder with the green coil in it.
Yes.
And then the picture that it takes, the next one, is with the tape, the police tape across it.
The one that...
Oh, no, it just takes a picture. You don't know what it is of.
But it's the same one that Dr. Heidecker...
sent to his colleague.
Not Heidecker. She's the colleague. Bezzarides.
The old man sent to the colleague. Yes. Okay. So then the end. Okay.
The end.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
I want to start at the end.
Okay.
So she thinks that she's going to unkill the man that she loves by putting up a note for it to be taken 24 hours in advance. That's insane, right? She's lost it. She doesn't understand how it works.
So let's imagine if it's a single timeline and she believes that if she puts up a poster tonight that says don't get caught by the window and her last night. But see, that's a nighttime photo. That's the part that's weird, because if it's a daytime photo
versus a nighttime photo.
Oh, but she's right. I think that's where she's wrong. I think she's got the right idea. The problem is that if it gets taken at 8 p.m., then everyone's going to see it, because that's the photos that they're sharing.
My question is, it doesn't matter what time of day you take the photo. If somebody is dead, you cannot undo that. Unless you're talking about a different timeline for every single picture that is taken.
Right. And she might not. And that's where I think she's definitely off, is that she can't change her reality. She can change the reality of herself that's 24 hours behind her. So, yeah, I guess that's what I am saying, is that every photograph creates a split.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that. She just thinks that it's all going to work out. I'm trying to understand in her mind in that moment.
I think she thinks that her morning photos have been a bigger manipulator than they actually are. I think she thinks she's really been the puppet master with her morning photos. And it's really no different than the night photos of them posting race results. But I feel like she thinks she's already changing the past every morning by manipulating that, because she's using the morning photos to manipulate her evening. Like, she's the one that writes herself the note, knock over the hat rack. So she thinks she created that first photo on purpose.
Which first? What's the first photo?
The hat rack. The first one that they're involved in is the hat rack being tipped over. And so because she sends herself the note, don't forget to knock over the hat rack, I think she would have knocked over the hat rack anyway.
Yeah.
But because she sent herself that note.
Let's look at something bigger. So she wrote a note in the morning to tell herself to kiss Jasper longer than she should to make him jealous. So she's like, okay. And then that night she kisses him longer and he gets jealous. Her boyfriend gets jealous. So she's like, okay, it works. So if I do what the morning says, it'll benefit me. But how would, if you're her and you're starting to go a little cuckoo, how would a picture taken at 8 a.m. that says don't get caught at the window help you 12 hours later?
Because if it is one timeline, if she thinks it's one timeline, that will retroactively.
So the picture that she has to create. Okay, my brain is starting to melt here. You get the picture, you see the picture, and you're like, okay, this is a picture of me writing a note to myself that says, kiss him too long.
Yes.
Okay. So you get that and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to kiss him for too long. And it works. And then in order for this to continue, then that next 8 a.m., you have to go and write kiss him for too long, even though you already did it. So in order for her to change him to bring him back to life, she would have to have seen a picture, received a picture that said, don't get caught at the window, then do it, then take the picture. So it doesn't make sense.
If she thinks it'll create a butterfly effect, if she thinks by retroactively putting a different, because yeah, she's definitely going cuckoo, but now instead of perpetuating her past with her present, she's going to finally try to change it.
Okay, my question is in the last, because I rewatched the last 30 minutes of this movie because everything happens in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So she gets caught by Finn in the window taking the picture. She's got the blood on her neck. She's wearing the blue nightgown. And she's got the two pieces of paper that say, kill Jasper to save Finn, and I forget what the other one was. Yeah. So she gets caught, right? It's 8 a.m. Picture taken. She gets caught. Then she basically kills her boyfriend and thinks, so the 8 a.m. picture is done. So now all she can do is the 8 p.m. picture. So she thinks at 8 p.m., she's going to write in the window, don't get caught at the window. But then that, so she's changing. They already have the 8 p.m. picture. The 8 p.m. picture is of the empty room with the blood on the window with the cylinder with the green coil. They already have the 8 p.m. picture. So she's going to change the 8 p.m. picture. She thinks she's going to write, don't get caught at the window. And that is going to change everything.
That's what she thinks.
Hole.
Well, in her biggest, honestly, I think the biggest hole, I don't think it's a hole. Well, it's a hole either way. I don't think it's as big of a hole if she figures out a way to do that for the next 8 a.m. picture. I think the hole really comes in when she tries to change the 8 p.m. picture, because all three of them are going to see that. If not Ivan.
Ivan?
The bookie.
The bookie's dead.
What was in the last night picture?
The last.
Oh, it was them. It was Finn sleep.
That's the one that she switched.
So
she switched out a picture from a long time ago to make him jealous.
What was the real picture?
The real picture was the empty room. And this is where I'm really confused, because the picture that was sent to the colleague was the empty room with the blood and the coil. The picture that she switched out was that empty room plus the police tape across.
And that's when, just for our listeners, when the picture changed, it did not change.
She switched it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So the real picture that came out was the police tape.
I think so. I don't know whether if it's the 8 a.m. picture or the 8 p.m. picture, but there, the picture that was sent to the colleague. Now, here's my question. Let's say that the old man took this picture 2 weeks in advance.
Yes.
And then sent it to his colleague. The 24 hours, if the timer on the camera is still 24 hours, does it just take the same picture? Unless something changes, does it just take the same picture, right? It's going off every 8 hours, or as they thought, every 24 hours. So if the camera took a picture 2 weeks in advance, but then it does every, you know, 8 hours or whatever it is, does it just take the same picture if nothing changed?
What same picture?
So, okay. So I'm trying to figure out how I can explain this.
Like,
so,
does it reset to the 24 hour?
So I'm taking a picture every 24 hours. Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
Yes.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I took a picture of one of those 24 hours.
Yes.
Okay. So does it just print the same picture? Because it, one of those 24 hours, boom, 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 was the picture that I got 2 weeks ago. So it essentially is going to print the same picture. So you should essentially have two of the same pictures unless something has changed in the timeline. Okay.
It doesn't print the same picture. It takes the same picture because nothing's changed.
That's what I mean. If nothing has changed, Yes. It will take the same picture. So my confusion with this is, so my question is, where it gets hazy for me is, because I did a lot of swapping of pictures, is the picture the colleague got versus the picture with the police tape versus the one she was trying to take with the note in the window.
Okay.
So that's where it gets confusing for me. So at some point, she finds the picture of them sleeping together, and that was not the actual picture.
Correct. That was from months ago.
Okay, so it's an 8 p.m. picture. Okay, I'm remembering it now in the movie. I remember when they actually swap it out. The actual 8 p.m. picture that Callie is trying to change with her note is of the room, empty room, but with the police tape. She swaps that out for the sex picture, which was taken a long time ago. Now, that's the 8 p.m. picture that night. The picture without the police tape that was sent to the colleague, was that the 8 a.m. picture or a different...
It didn't have police tape on the one the colleague had?
No.
Oh.
But we don't know if the one that she sent was an 8 a.m. or an 8 p.m. And we don't know the picture. They did show the picture of Callie with the blood in the nightgown with the two notes. It did show that picture. So she had to recreate that picture. So she yes. knew that she had to kill Finn to save him, or kill Gaspard to save Finn. So yeah, this gets very confusing for me. The last 30 minutes, I would almost have to like watch it again now to totally understand. Basically, for this whole, she's gone crazy. She thinks that she can bring somebody back from the dead just by taking another 24-hour or 12-hour photo. She's gone cuckoo. Because in her mind, she doesn't know that there's an alternate timeline for every picture. And in that timeline, we'll be together and we'll be happy.
Well, Now, I agree with you. She can't change her reality. But let's say they put up a different note. They get the picture. It says do A. The next, I'm trying to think, because yeah, that's where the boys keep it simple. So let's stick with Callie, because she's actually telling herself to do things. So let's say she kisses Jasper for too long, and then the next morning she puts a note in the window that says, don't kiss Jasper. What happens?
You meaning she changed what was in the picture?
Yes.
So you receive a picture, and then you do what is in the picture, and then you take the picture. So instead of doing and taking what is in the picture, she's going to change things.
Yes. What happened?
So
let's say she kisses Jasper too long. Then the next morning, she puts a note in the window that says, don't kiss Jasper. What happens?
We don't know. We don't know what happens if you do what's in the picture, but then change the picture. They never did that. So we don't
right.
know.
So that's where she has every right to think she still might
be able to fix it. Yeah, but she's also gone a little crazy.
She has, but let's say her plan goes off without a hitch. Let's say the picture is taken that night that says don't get caught at the window. What happened?
So let's say the cop never showed up.
Let's say the cop does show up, but he doesn't, because he doesn't take the piece of paper down.
So you're saying if the piece of paper didn't fall down, what happens?
Yeah.
Okay. The piece of paper didn't fall down.
8 p.m.
Yeah. 8 p.m. goes off. It's a picture of tomorrow's 8 p.m., but Callie is in prison right now. Or jail.
But that picture is now sent to yesterday's Callie.
No.
Yeah.
So you think it's a different timeline?
I don't know.
I mean, by what you just said, it has to be.
If I'm just trying to figure out because
what you just said is...
I think she has a reason to believe that she can fix it.
She thinks she can, but she's gone cuckoo and...
But why couldn't she?
Okay, so...
Now I realize that she can't... So I guess, yes, I'm probably proposing a multiple timeline situation.
What you're saying is a different timeline, so...
So do you think every time a photograph is taken, the timeline splits?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I think so.
That means...
Just because I think that she can change her past. I don't think she can change her present. I think she still goes to jail. And, well, again, the problem with her plan is she's doing it at 8 p.m., which means last night, all three of them see it. And what are the boys going to do when they see a picture of Callie in the window saying, don't get caught at the window? That's the real hole in her plan.
Yeah.
She might still fix things or change things, but things are going to get really ugly. But let's say she's preparing for the... Actually, you know what?
What, Desmond?
It might be the next morning. We actually don't know. It might be 7 a.m. the next morning when she gets caught.
So that means that they've been lying on the ground dead for 24 hours.
Yep.
And that the 8 p.m. picture is the empty room with the blood on the window with the green coil.
Yes.
And... and everyone's still dead, and she thinks that she's going to fix it all by doing another 8 a.m. picture saying don't get caught out of the window by somebody who's already dead on the floor. It doesn't make sense. So she's gone cuckoo. I think this is a bit of a hole in this story. It makes for an interesting twist at the end. You know, unhappy ending. Those are always rare and fun.
Well, and it's the whole you can't change what's going to happen. And that's what a lot of time travel movies are trying to pound into you.
So this movie, I believe one of the laws is you cannot change what is in the picture, what's going to happen. Because they never change what's in the picture. They always take what is in the picture.
Yeah. And early on, they're just playing along because why not? And then later on, they get stuck in the gears because of Ivan for the most part. And then when things go really haywire and she realizes she's going to try to step out of this timeline and try to fix it, what happens has happened, will always happen and happen, and you can't change fate. I think she can change another timeline.
So you think that this story is every single time a picture is taken, so every 12 hours a new timeline exists. I mean, it could possibly.
I think
be that.
It definitely splits. If it doesn't, if a new timeline isn't split every time the photo is taken, a new timeline would split off if you put a different note in the window than that which you have a picture of.
So you think if you change the picture, then it creates a new timeline?
Definitely.
So do you think Callie, in her mind, was thinking this? They're like, okay, the minute I change this picture, don't get caught, she's going to magically be transported to another timeline.
Well, she thinks it's going to create a butterfly effect and she'll just be magically transported to a better future. I don't think that's true, but I think she
thinks that.
I think she thinks that she's going to change the time, her current timeline, which I don't believe, but I do believe she's going to change another version of her, a different timeline.
But she doesn't know that.
She doesn't.
The character does not think that way.
But she's right in the fact that she's going to change something. She's just not changing her reality. She's changing what will now become her alternate timeline.
Yeah, but she thinks that she's going to take a new picture and she's going to magically bring her boyfriend back to life. She's gone crazy. If you look at this in the sense of every decision that you make makes an alternate universe, so multiverse, every possible decision in your life, there is another entire universe where you did that. So you're thinking that this is the multiverse theory where every major decision or change creates a whole new universe. And in a sense, you are correct, because that is a theory that...
Yeah, I guess I have to go all the way there. I want to say that you're only breaking a timeline when you create a different photo, because then you're changing the future or the past or the, you know, because if you're getting a picture of tomorrow and you decide to do something different, that would definitely break time.
And they never did that. We never saw happened if they did in this movie. So to me, that says that they are in one timeline and they are going for the it's inevitable, whatever is supposed to happen will happen no matter, even if you try to change it, the note will fall type of thing. It will always be what is in the picture, in my opinion.
No, yeah. And that's definitely the way the movie ends, is that one way or the other, what's been predicted will happen.
Yeah, because Callie thought that she was manipulating all the things with her pictures, when in reality she was just going along with what was supposed to happen.
So yeah, this is one of the things I wrote down the first time I watched, just not even picking up on a lot of the nuances. I was just like, wow, Callie starts plotting immediately. She is like, and I realized today that I didn't realize she's writing in his journal. Like when she's journaling the next morning, which is right after her first picture, we find out she's continuing on in Dr. Bizzaretti's journal. So she, in theory, has read all of his journals and is continuing his science. Basically, I wrote down, this is a bootstrap of a bootstrap of a bootstrap. Like it is, I mean, technically it's just a bootstrap, but just the...
How do you figure?
Because you're being pulled forward by tomorrow's note.
I don't know if this is technically a bootstrap. I think all bootstrap paradoxes have to go into the past. But let's talk about that. So the thing about this movie is there is no actual time traveling. There is simply a picture of either 12 or 24 hours into the future.
Well, they're always 24 hours.
8 a.m. or 8 p.m.
Yeah, but it's of the following.
Right. Well, yeah. We start out the movie thinking that it's 24, but in reality, it's 12. Right?
Well, it takes one every 12 hours of 24 hours in the future.
Correct. What did I say?
I think you said, I thought you were just every 12 hours of 12 hours in the future.
Yeah, it's taking a picture of 24 hours into the future.
Yes.
Every 12 hours. Thank you. That's confusing.
So now, if I thought it was convenient.
But do you see how this is not a bootstrap paradox?
I don't, because I think part of the definition of a bootstrap is you're being pulled forward by your inevitable future.
Bootstrap paradox is you learn about time travel from a book. You use what you learned to travel back in time to... Oh, I should know this. We are time travel specialists.
You learn about tomorrow from a photograph.
It's a loop. It has to be a loop. The bootstrap paradox has to be a loop. So why is this not a loop? So Einstein discovers time travel from a book, goes back in time and writes a book about time travel, leaves it there to eventually be discovered by Einstein, who, I'm not explaining this right, but I'm sure we could pull up the definition of a bootstrap paradox, and I guarantee you this is not a bootstrap paradox.
Then we're looking up, because I think it is, because...
It's not a paradox.
But that's why I wrote a bootstrap and a bootstrap and a bootstrap, because most bootstraps, yeah, are like 40 years, and you go back 40 years, and you teach yourself something that you won't know for 40 years, and blah, blah, blah. But this is just a 24-hour, you're telling yourself something that you won't know for 24 hours.
So I have here, I did a quick search of definition of bootstrap paradox, and mine says, the bootstrap paradox is a theoretical paradox of time travel that occurs when an object or piece of information sent back in time becomes trapped within an infinite cause-effect loop in which the item no longer has a discriminable point of origin and is said to be uncaused or self-created. Did I read that right? Discernible.
In the case of time lapse, these involve a series of daily bootstrap or ontological paradoxes in which information rather than a person is sent back in time to create a circular loop in which the information does not appear to have a discernible point of origin.
Where'd you find that?
Astronomy Trek.
What did you do a search for?
Is time lapse a bootstrap?
Okay.
Is the time lapse film a bootstrap?
So because they're saying that you don't know, because the picture was sent back 24 hours.
Yes.
And they don't know where it came from, that it is a bootstrap paradox?
Yes.
Interesting. And because they perpetuate the loop, they keep just taking the picture, that creates the loop, which is the paradox.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we never figured out what might happen if the bootstrap was broken.
Yeah, they never didn't take the picture. She tried to, but inevitably the sign fell down and...
Which, yeah, and now we know that the picture taken even from the past was of her sign falling down. Like, she was always going to post that sign, and that sign was always going to fall.
Yeah, interesting. I'm finding that a lot of stories are bootstrap paradoxes. A lot of these time travel movies that we've been doing are a story written within the bootstrap paradox.
Other bootstrap paradoxes include Callie's message to herself, such as reminding herself to knock over the coat rack for the photo because she saw a future photo with the coat rack lying on the floor, an idea which has no discernible point of origin. So yeah, it's a little bit different because, yeah, I think it's easier to understand a bootstrap when a person goes back with major scientific altering information.
Yeah, and goes back years and years and years, not just 24 hours, and the people don't travel, just a picture does, which is really...
Because those are harder to imagine breaking, like to imagine just all of a sudden we don't know what the theory of relativity is. Like, that shatters everything. But God forbid Jasper loses at the track tomorrow, BFD. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. I have been listening to Time Pop. I wasn't able to do our contact info live because we had a little bit of technical difficulty, which hopefully isn't too noticeable to the listener. But yeah, this was a heck of an episode. I like time travel movies that travel in short distances because they're kind of easy to travel, and you wind up, you know, talking more about it, you know, when people travel far, far into the future or far, far into the past. It's just like, well, that's crazy. And it doesn't leave as much to debate. But when we're talking about such a short period of time, you kind of really want to grab a hold of it with your brain. And Ari and I tried as hard as we could. And I think we managed to just confuse ourselves more in a fun way. Please feel free to help us clear anything up. Hopefully you've made it this far because you've enjoyed the program. Please like and subscribe to Time Pop and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can enjoy a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. If you would like to add to the conversation, please email us at timepop9216, that's timepop9216@gmail.com, and tell us your thoughts about this particular depiction of time travel and how you might use it. And definitely let us know about a time travel movie, book, game, etc. that we might discuss on a future episode. And if you would like to start your own discussion on the topic, please head over to Face Insta Twitter book. We are at teapot9216, and please check out soundsawesome9216.com to hear what else sounds awesome. And now back to the big finish.
It's interesting. It's an interesting concept. I've never seen a movie like this done before.
Yeah.
The execution of it was, it's a low budget-ish movie, even though, you know, they got it done, they had a budget. But I remember when I first watched this movie, I was annoyed by, like, some of the bad acting and some, like, the bad lighting. But second time around, didn't bug me as much. But it's original. I'll give it that. This movie is original when it comes to time travel.
Because it's kind of cool because it's almost like a single room type time travel movie, but they move around enough so you don't feel trapped. There's the two apartments, there's the storage room, and so though it's a very contained story and easy to follow, they move around enough so you don't feel claustrophobic. I noticed in the watching, the crystal ball is the seer of all, because Jasper holds it up to each of them to tell their future when they first learn. He's like, I see you painting every day, and I see you not waitressing every day. And then immediately after that, he sets it down and it rolls off the table as if to say no. And then, all right, we have talked our way into technical difficulties. We have created a bootstrap with my technology. It's going to break because it's going to break because it's always going to break. So, yeah, we're going to have to come back to this type of movie. I like these short travels. You know, it gives you the idea that you can follow it, and then you totally can't. So, thank you for a great discussion on time lapse, Ari.
Mm-hmm.
This was a lot of fun.
Yep, it's a good one.
A whole new idea of the bootstrap theory. So, until next week, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Ari LaGala. Bye. Don't get caught at the window. Don't get caught at the window.